Matt. How are you?
Butch, I'm doing good. Fred, how are you?
Matthew, you gave me a heart attack last week.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I pulled in to get some gas, and I look over and I see two hardcore motorcycle dudes. I'm talking fully strapped up, cigars hanging out, and I'm like, you know what? What's the odds that that's Fred and Steve? And by God, it was Fred and Steve.
Did you see the guns they were packing or no?
No, they're hidden.
Oh, man, it was great, man. They're ready to go, heading down to the steakhouse, getting it on for a good Friday night.
So how about that question, Matt? Who's the guy that's hit you the hardest? I know you're an offensive player and you're usually dishing out the punishment, but is there a guy that Fred said it's William Andrews when he played, a running back for Atlanta? Is there one guy that sticks out in your mind that hits you the hardest since you've been in the NFL?
Man, I mean, I've been hit hard a few times.
He's a left tackle. Of course, you get all the studs over there.
Yeah, I mean, as far as just like bone density, I mean, there's got to be something about, you know, being from like the islands, you know, like
Samoans,
like,
oh,
guys,
my
like
goodness.
Guys like Kimo von Ohlhofen. I mean, when he played, you try to move him, it was difficult. But when he hits you, it's something with their bone density. I mean, it's just incredible how much force they can create.
Really?
You know, we played with, remember Dixon, who went out to play for Minnesota, the Patriots had him early on. He's an all-pro guard. What was his
name? Yeah.
Yeah, he came to the Patriots, and they had him at D-tackle, and he was about 350 pounds. And we were lifting there one day, and he put 500 on and warmed up. And he's playing half-line drills against us, right? And he's breaking the helmets. I said, Coach, you should put this guy in offense. He's killing us. He was I think he was Samoan. He's from New Zealand. He played with the All Blacks, you know, and he went out, and they cut him, and he went over to play in Minnesota. You hit that kid. I felt like a fly going against a window.
So, Matt, here we are, final week of the season. Last week you were a game-time decision and ended up inactive. I know we're not going to get an answer, but are you going to play Sunday?
Hey, listen, I'm like always, you know, going out there and doing everything I can to get out and be able to be on the field, man. And we'll see how it goes. And you know, it's always difficult when you're rehabbing something or trying to come back from something. But you know what? We've had a good week this week, and I'm pretty excited about this weekend.
Was that from a week before? Or did you do something in warmups?
No, you know what? Just wasn't able to dial it up, you know, on Saturday, unfortunately. And yeah, you know, you hate being in those positions and having to, you know, make that call. But, you know, it's all about moving on and getting on to this Buffalo game. And you know, look, this is going to be a good test for us. And, you know, they're obviously coming off a heck of a win last week. And, you know, we're going to need to close this thing up on a good note. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to do that this weekend.
Did you see anything in Tom's eyes? Because when you went down and then Mankins go down, his two protectors on the left side, well, has that ever happened before? Both guys on the left side go down the same game prior? You know, Mankins went down a little later, but that must have shook him up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we've shuffled a lot of guys around in the past. I'm not sure it's ever happened quite like that. But, you know, I tell you what, you know, the first half, we don't probably need to talk much about that. And, you know, you look at that second half and how they all responded. And a lot of young guys stepped up and, you know, played, you know, positions that they necessarily didn't get a lot of reps at during the week. And, you know, really, to be honest with you, a lot of those guys don't get a lot of reps during the week. So I think they stepped up in a big way and obviously came out and executed really well in the second half.
Matt, I want to ask you about when, like last week when that happens, you know, we're not going to press you about the injury, but when that happens and you already know that Vollmer's out and you got a couple of young guys, Solder and Cannon in there, that are going to get their baptism under fire, and your role changes, I imagine there's both some frustration, but you also know that you got to be there for support for them to do stuff. What is your mindset? How do you deal with that? I would imagine it helps that you've been in the league so long when something like that happens.
No, I mean, I think you approach it. You really want to have one way to really deal with those kind of things. And, you know, you got to go get whatever it is that's bothering you fixed and go back after. I mean, there's really nothing you can do in a situation like that, you know. So I don't tend to dwell on those kind of things. You fix the problem and move on.
So with Solder and Cannon, the two halves, was it a, and this isn't all on them, obviously, but, you know, an offensive line is like a glove, like you guys always say.
Who was the guy?
So many,
Thompson came in? What was it?
Well, so Wendell was in there.
I had to get my chart out there.
Yeah,
64, who's that?
But I mean, we sort of saw that it took a half for them to kind of get their acting gear together and make some adjustments, especially after Logan went down, didn't it?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, obviously when Logan was out, you know, having to shuffle, you know, just one more guy into the rotation and move some guys around. And, you know, obviously, you know, putting Nate over on the left and, you know, wasn't anything that we haven't practiced before, but at the same time, it wasn't something that we practiced a ton of. So, you know, like I said, I mean, they responded really well. You know, I think that as a unit, we've always had guys that understood their role. They understand that, you know, look, if you're a backup player, you need to know everything like you would if you were the guy starting in front of you. And those guys take that upon themselves to do that. And whether it's Dante, you know, staying after him and staying a little longer in the meeting room, I mean, those guys really do understand what it means to, you know, be a team player. And so, you know, I'll tell you, it wasn't perfect by any stretch, but, you know, once they got everything dialed in, they got to look at, you know, what they were doing and what they needed to correct. You know, they did a really good job of correcting those things.
All right, now you got Buffalo coming up. Williams hasn't been playing the nose tackle. How much different do they look than they did at the beginning of the year? They beat Denver pretty good. They've lost some games they should have won. They look great in games. They look poor in games. And you see the inconsistency. Are they any different defensive-wise than you played them prior?
You know, I mean, they've obviously got, you know, a few different license plates out there. Obviously, you know, Kyle's not in and you know, Merriman, he's not out there, but they've got some really good guys inside. They've got some guys on the outside, whether it's Kelsey or Spencer, that are good edge rushers. And I think that overall, you know, defensively, it's not going to come down to, you know, seeing a million different looks. They're going to try to, you know, hit us with some blitzes, and they're going to try to, you know, probably throw some things in there that they're game planning for our offense and things that we do. But overall, it's going to come down to how well we can execute and really, you know, the tempo at which we play the game and, you know, really our execution early in the game will set the tempo for this one.
Matt, Vince Wilfork talked this week about the camaraderie in this locker room, that it's a little different, that it's, I don't know if he said unique, I forget the word that he used, but that there's a strong bond within this team. Do you agree with that? And again, it's been 11 years for you, so you've been through a lot of locker rooms, and this one I'm sure is different. You're a, you know, one of the old horses, one of the old soldiers now. Is it different? Is it unique? What is the camaraderie like on this team?
You know, I mean, every year, it's, you know, there's always a difference from year to year. And I think that, you know, this year we've got a good mixture of guys that have been around the league for a while and obviously, you know, quite a few young guys. But I think the most important part of, you know, having any good chemistry on any team is that everybody buys into what we're trying to do as a team. So, you know, the guys understand what our practice tempo should be like and what our preparation, you know, should be as a unit or, you know, as an offense or as a defense or special teams. I mean, I think that having everybody buy in and have one common theme and embrace that goes a long way with, you know, how your team really gets along on and off the field. So, you know, I think we have done a pretty good job of understanding, you know, what it is that Bill wants and how to best do that, and it hasn't been perfect, but, you know, we're working at it and trying to improve each week, and everybody understands that aspect.
As you're talking about the dynamic in the locker room, I couldn't help thinking about Brian Waters. He gets honored with the Pro Bowl. I mean, it couldn't have been too long after he got here that you said, wow, this guy, you know,
he's cut from the right cloth,
right?
Well, he's cut from Kansas City, money-wise, but to come in and fit in like he does, what are the intangibles he has that makes him fit in so well?
Well, I mean, number one, I mean, Brian's obviously got a lot of experience, and not just the experience, but he really understands the game. I mean, at every level, offensively, defensively, you know, even special teams. I mean, he's a student of the game, and, you know, he's a really great guy to have in that locker room when it comes to, you know, pushing some of these younger guys to do a little bit more and, you know, spending time with them to, you know, help them understand, you know, what their role is. So, you know, you can't ever get enough of that. And you know, we've been lucky to have a guy like that be able to step in and contribute as much as he has. I mean, he's, you know, been a mainstay over there, right guard all season and never wavered. And that's, you know, that's hard to do.
You know, you've been around for a long time. And you hear a lot of different things said about a lot of different people. Is there anything this year that bugged you that's been said? Like, some, I watch a lot of the play, and I watch Vincent Wilfork, and people call up and say, well, Vince isn't playing that well. I'm like, there's a reason why he plays five different positions on defense. because they put him in a place where they need him the most. Is there anything that bugged you that needs to be cleared up that you want to talk about? You know, that
Miss Freddie, look at you giving him a chance to air some laundry.
But I'm saying is, they talk about Vince Wilfork. People don't watch it. They watch the outside of the screen. They don't watch the line play. So I didn't know if there's anything that you hear that you want to clear up.
No, I mean, there's been a few things this season. I would say that, you know, probably the one that's been most disturbing for me is that, you know, they keep saying, well, you know, Light should be named the sexiest man of the year. And I'm like, whoa. Like, you know.
I'd worry about
that.
It's
not that important to me. I mean, you know, I'll settle for second sexiest. I mean, as long as I'm on that list somewhere.
You're in a huddle with Tom Brady. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but you know what I noticed? Well, that, when you got out of that car that day, you did iron your flannel shirt.
Oh, no, I look good, man. I know.
What were you going to say about being in the huddle with Brady? I'm sure you had something.
Well, I'm just saying, but that's what automatically puts me in the running for, you know, sexiest man alive. I mean, but to be honest with you, I don't listen to much of anything. I mean, I'm not a big, you know, pick up the paper every morning, check out the sports section. I mean, if anything, if I ever see a paper, you know, I usually don't make it past the, you know, the front page. But, you know, from a team perspective, you know, I think we've always done a good job of, you know, staying out of that stuff. I mean, they do keep us pretty busy within these walls.
You know what I did? I put a check mark of every guy that talked trash when I played, and I get them back eventually.
You did?
Yeah, I'll show you the list later on.
I know three people you listen to: your coach, the boss of your household, your wife Susie, and your dad. Those are three people you do listen to, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm forced to on one of those. You know.
Hey, where'd you get the driver I met that night? It was a crazy-looking little guy that got out of that big black Jaguar.
Oh, yeah, Welker. Yeah, he's really good, man. I'll tell you what, he's extremely cheap. I mean, it's like $40 an hour. I mean, I wish he'd have a bigger car, you know. Those Jaguars aren't the best for fat guys, but he does a good job.
Our conversation with Matt Light has been sponsored by Marlboro and Milford Nissan, home of good, honest deals, and by BioHeat, importing less foreign oil and no system modifications needed now at BioHeatOnline.com. Matt, good luck, good health, my friend, and hopefully we get another month's run of football here
Ride
for you guys.
Safe.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, man.
All right, Matt Light, Patriots offensive tackle.